Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Did Joseph Smith fit the definition of an ignorant translator? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at a book that was given away as a Christmas gift twice, not just once, but twice by the first presidency of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a very famous LDS book titled Articles of Faith, written by Mormon apostle James Talmage. It was published in 1899. We've been looking at the section that deals with the Bible, and there are a lot of things that he says regarding the Bible that I think really shows that the Bible is an authentic work and should be trusted, even though, as we pointed out this week, James Talmage does have some reservations. Yesterday, we were talking about a statement written by Joseph Smith that is found in Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith. But on page 327, he makes an interesting statement under the heading of Errors in the Bible, and we want to revisit that statement. What did he say there, Eric?
I believe the Bible as it is read when it came from the pen of the original writers. Ignorant translators, careless transcribers, or designing and corrupt priests have committed many errors.
The reason why we looked at that passage is because on page 248 of the book Articles of Faith, James Talmage talks about the New Testament must be accepted for what it claims to be, and though perhaps many precious parts have been suppressed or lost, while some corruptions of the text may have crept in and errors have been inadvertently introduced through the incapacity of translators, the volume as a whole must be admitted as authentic and credible and as an essential part of the Holy Scriptures. It's interesting that when Joseph Smith makes this statement, and it's recorded on page 327 of Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, the paragraph goes on to have Joseph Smith also saying, as it read, Genesis 6:6, it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth. Then there's a semicolon, and it says, also Numbers 23:19. But then he goes to cite Genesis 6:6 in the King James Version that says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. And then he has this to say, which I do not believe. In other words, he does not believe the way Numbers 23:19 reads, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Smith says, I do not believe that. Interesting, though. The way it reads in the King James Version is exactly the same way that it reads in the Joseph Smith translation or the Inspired Version. And not only that, Smith goes on to say, but this passage ought to read, speaking of Genesis 6:6, he says it ought to read, quote, it repented Noah that God made man. Now, that's not found in Genesis 6:6 of the Joseph Smith translation. It's found in Genesis 8:13, because there's a lot that Joseph Smith added prior to Genesis chapter 8. And again, we should point out, a lot of what he adds in the Joseph Smith translation, you will not find any manuscripts that support what Joseph Smith has in those chapters prior to chapter 8 in his inspired version of the Bible, as it's so called. So if anything, it sounds like Joseph Smith is making an accusation that describes himself. He is the one that is inserting things and taking things out at his pleasure, even though he tries to make it sound that it was someone else that was doing that, and that's why he didn't think that the Bible should be trusted the way it reads today. On page 250 of the book, Articles of Faith, there is a subheading that says, Genuineness and Authenticity of the Bible. Here again, James Talmage, I think, is actually supporting our Bible giving us the impression that it is something that should be believed. And again, I wonder, why is it that what he says here seems to be lost on so many members of the LDS Church? What does he say on page 250?
All evidence is furnished by the Bible itself, such as its language, historical details, and the consistency of its contents, unite in supporting his claim to genuineness as the actual works of the authors to whom the separate parts are ascribed. In a multitude of instances, comparisons are easy between the biblical record and history not scriptural, particularly in regard to biography and genealogy. And in such cases, general agreement has been found.
Let me stop you there, Eric, because this is an incredible statement. And to have it come from a man of the caliber of James Talmage is noteworthy. This is not just any old leader in the LDS Church who used to be an insurance salesman or a banker or a finance guy or a heart doctor. This is a guy who is a scholar in the Mormon Church who's actually done some study on these subjects. And again, we find that his conclusions don't always seem to be the same as we hear average Latter-day Saints describing their faith. In a multitude of instances, comparisons are easy between the biblical record and history, not scriptural. In other words, there are histories that we find from other sources outside the Bible that the Bible tends to agree. So he's showing that historically, the Bible seems to be authentic, according to what he's saying here. When he talks about the historical details, the consistency of its content, they unite in supporting its claim to genuineness as the actual works of the authors to whom the separate parts are ascribed.
If you go to the notes on page 500 of the book, he has note 6 concerning the genuineness of parts of the New Testament. He goes through, spends two entire pages, and goes through the four Gospels, the Pauline epistles. He goes through all of it. And in each part, he is ascertaining the actual authors and what they wrote. So I think that's pretty impressive that you have a Latter-day Saint leader who is talking about how genuine these parts really are.
It gets even better, folks. Because towards the end of this paragraph, he says something that's just astounding.
Further evidence appears in the individuality maintained by each writer, resulting in a marked diversity of style, while the unity pervading the whole declares the operation of some guiding influence throughout the ages of the record's growth. And this can be nothing less than the power of inspiration which operated upon all who were accepted as instruments in the divine hand to prepare this book of books. Tradition, history, literary analysis, and above and beyond all these, the test of prayerful research and truth-seeking investigation unite to prove the authenticity of this volume of Scripture and to point the way defined within its covers, leading men back to the eternal presence.
Leading back to the eternal presence. Eternal is capitalized. Presence is capitalized. He says, the test of prayerful research and truth-seeking investigation unite to prove the authenticity of this volume of Scripture and to point the way defined within its covers, leading men back to the eternal presence. Now, I know James Talmage was very traditional. I know that he believed that there was a celestial kingdom, a terrestrial kingdom, and a telestial kingdom. But it's an interesting comment that he makes here. Because if he really believed that the Bible had the ability to point the way back for men to get to the eternal presence, he had to have known that the Bible doesn't talk about the celestial kingdom the way it's understood by the Mormons. He had to also know that a lot of the requirements that are a part of his church are not requirements that we find in the New Testament. He had to have known that, but yet he still makes this astounding statement that if we have the Bible as authentic and genuine as it is, it leads men back to the eternal presence. It's almost as if he wants to give the Bible his full support, but his Mormonism is going to keep dragging him back. He can't go that far. I think he's trying to be as honest as possible within the context of his Mormonism, But I think for us, that is quite an astounding statement.
I think one other thing we need to look at, go back to the pages I referred to on page 500, 499, he talks about manuscript copies of the New Testament, and he lists three manuscripts that were made available only after the King James was translated, and he talks favorably about them, Codex Vaticanus, Codex Alexandrinus, and Codex Sinaiticus. Those were not used in the King James Version or in Joseph Smith's translation, but certainly are used today as the most reliable and accurate manuscripts, full manuscripts that go back to the 4th century. But Bill, there's another quote on page 501, again, where he seems to really favor, as you say, the Bible and its authenticity. On note number 7, he says, archaeological evidence confirming the Bible. Professor A.H. Sayce, M.A., master's degree, sums up his learned treatise on the testimony of the ancient monuments. Thus, quote, the critical objections to the truth of the Old Testament, once drawn from the armory of Greek and Latin writers, can never be urged again. They have been met and overthrown once for all. The answers to them have come from papyrus and clay and stone, from the tombs of ancient Egypt, from the mounds of Babylonia, and from the ruined palaces of the Assyrian kings. Bill, you and I have been to Israel a number of times, and we would agree with Professor Sayce that the Bible is confirmed through archaeological evidence, talking about real people and real places describing real events.
And what's amazing about this citation that Talmadge includes in this book, by citing A.H. Sayce, this is the same A.H. Sayce that was extremely critical about Joseph Smith's Book of Abraham. He did not believe that Joseph Smith's translation of the papyri in what became the Book of Abraham was worth believing. He did not believe that at all. So I find it interesting that Talmadge sees his expertise to include this comment about archaeological evidence confirming the Bible. The same man that he cites is the same man who criticized Joseph Smith's rendition of the Book of Abraham.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic of interest among many Bible-believing Christians who want to reach their LDS friends and loved ones with the biblical message of hope and grace. If you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the beliefs of the Mormon people, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be a resource for you. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to clearly articulate Mormon doctrine and history in order to better understand the issues that separate Mormonism from the Christian faith. At MRM.org, you'll find links to hundreds of articles as well as dozens of videos that will effectively educate you on this fascinating topic. Should your church need a live presentation, simply contact MRM and schedule one of our several PowerPoint presentations that have helped thousands of Christians better understand the beliefs of their LDS neighbors. To schedule MRM at your church, write us at MRM.org or call 801-572-2153. Let MRM help you become a confident ambassador for Christ.